Beauty Bright.
Mm-hmm. Easy to use. Drop.
To BBM Air Theater, Wrigley Building, Chicago.
The very second you feel a cold coming on you, reach for Listerine. A sniffle or sneeze should warn you, reach for Listerine. Cough drops and nose drops, aspirin and such are not antiseptic, just can't touch. Listerine's germ-killing action, so reach for Listerine.
62 degrees now in Chicago. Our humidity reading 41%. The wind out of the south 18 miles an hour at 10:45. Wrigley's Spearmint Gum presents The Howard Miller Show. Now, here with Music on Records is Howard Miller.
Thank you very much, Joe Foss, and hi, everyone, from Chicago. Once again, bathed in the sweet liqueur of sunlight, bright and warm and pleasant, a real typical spring day, and I hope equally pleasant in wherever the vantage spot might be that you're listening to our show. Today, we're going to have the pleasure of renewing an acquaintanceship with a young lady who I met, probably a year or so ago when she came out to the Middle West to do some television appearances and a concert. And never in my life have I had a more wonderful chat with a person on radio and television than I did with Miss Carmel Quinn, who you know is one of the great stars of the Arthur Godfrey Group, who entertained you just a very few minutes ago on this same network. Carmel has a fine new record out, both sides of which we're going to play, and we're going to have an opportunity of sort of doing a person-to-person without a camera with Carmel, because she's sitting in one of the adjacent studios to the Godfrey Show in Big CBS, New York, and we're here in the Wrigley Building, Chicago, and we'll talk back and forth over the line, and you will sort of be an interloper. Let's listen to this new Carmel side, which is just out a couple of days ago, called Let Him Go, Let Him Tarry.
Farewell to cold winter, the summer's come at last. Nothing have I gained but my true love I have lost. But I'll sing and I'll be happy like the birds upon a tree. For since he has deceived me, I care no more for he. Oh, let him go, oh, let him go. Let him go, let him tarry, let him sink or let him swim. And he can go and get another, I hope. Cause I'm going to marry a far nicer boy. Oh, he wrote to me a letter saying he was very sad. I wrote him back another saying I was very glad. Then he wrote to me another saying he was well and strong. But I care no more about him than a proudy walks upon. Oh, let him go. Or let him swim and he can go and get another. I hope he will enjoy. Cause I'm going to marry a fine, nice boy. He can go to his mother and set her mind at ease. I hear that she's a lady who is very hard to please. It's fighting me and slighting me is what she's always done. Because I was courting her one and only son. Oh, let him go, oh, let him go. Let him go, let him tarry, let him sink, or let him swim. Let him go and get another, I hope he will enjoy. Cause I'm going to marry, oh, I'm going to marry. Yes, I'm going to marry a fine night.
That's the delightful Carmel Quinn in a brand new satellite record just out called Let Him Go, Let Him Tarry. Now, we are not going to spend too much time talking about Wrigley Spearmint today because our show is too rich in the Irish brogue of Miss Quinn from Dublin. But I do want to say that also rich in pleasure, of course, is always the good refreshment of Wrigley Spearmint. So if you're in your automobile or out on the street, if you're close to some place where they sell Wrigley Spearmint, will you sort of drop in and drop down about the smallest denomination that's worth anything in this country, 5 cents, and pick up a delicious pack of Wrigley Spearmint. It's wholesome, it's pure, it's good, and it's refreshing. It's Wrigley Spearmint. Let's go to New York now to CBS, where Carmel Quinn is set up in her own little private studio, and say to Carmel, top of the morning to you, Carmel.
Hello, Howard, and the balance of the day to you.
Carmel, it's just so wonderful talking to you again. It was about, 6 or 8 months ago, maybe more than that, that you were here in concert at our big civic theater.
Yes, it was. It was nearly a year ago, Howard.
Was it that long?
Mm-hmm.
I was saying to you just before we went on the air, Carmel, asking you, rather, how soon you're likely to make a return to this Middle West.
Well, we hope now, as soon as we get, March over, you know, this is a very busy time now. Probably in April, please God. I hope so, because I love to go to Chicago.
Now, Carmel, when you go out on these concert tours, detaching yourself momentarily from network radio and television, do you go all the way to the coast, or do you just do the metropolitan cities in the Middle West and East?
I've never been to the coast yet, Howard, and I'd love to go. You know, all this going around doing concerts is a great thing for me. It's a great chance to see America.
Yes, of course, and I'm surprised that you haven't been out to Hollywood, because I know that the attraction out there for you and for them would be just absolutely great.
Someday we will. We'll take the trip out and have a look around.
Carmel, two or three of us were sitting around the studio here just a few moments ago, a very good friend of yours from Leeds, Lou Levy and Warren Brown, and one of the boys that constitutes our audience, our morning staff, asked the question of Lou, how you happened to get started in radio and television. How was your discovery made over there in Ireland?
Well, I'll tell you, over in Ireland, I always wanted to sing, Howard. And it's a funny thing, I'm just going to tell you this little thing that we were discussing last night in the kitchen.
That is you and somebody else, not
myself,
you and me.
Myself and two other girls.
I see.
Oh, you weren't in my kitchen ever.
I'd like to be.
Well, you're welcome anytime. The door is open.
Thank you.
Anyway, we were just talking about dreams coming true. You know, you read in magazines, dreams come true, this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
But I really had a dream come true. When I was about 10 years of age and 12 years of age and 13 and 14, I'd be in our house at home, and my job was always to wash up the dishes after the dinner. No matter what way the wind blew, I washed the dishes. But I used to love to get everybody out of the house and lock myself in the pantry and turn on the tap, the water, into the basin. And this was my orchestra, the noise of the tap flowing into the basin. This was any orchestra I wanted, 100, 200, 300 pieces. And I would sing and sing and sing, maybe for 3 or 4 hours solid.
Mm-hmm.
Until I'd realize it was tea time and they were all back in and the dinner dishes weren't washed and nothing was done. And my dream then was that someday I'd come to America and I'd sing. Now, it sounded ridiculous, and I was ashamed to say it to anybody. Anyone come in and found me singing, they thought I was mad, you know.
Oh.
And I had that secret hope and dream, and I even went so far as to imagine myself walking out on Carnegie Hall stage. You know, when you're small, you imagine all sorts of things.
Of course.
I used to rescue people out of rivers and all sorts of things. But this, anyway, when I did come to America and the first time I walked out on Carnegie Hall stage, this is the truth. Do you know, when the people applauded, I cried.
I
couldn't sing. I cried before I spoke or sang. I cried.
Well, it certainly is a great story of a dream come true. And, of course, that flow of water from the tap, you heard these 1,000 violins, and they played a symphony for your voice.
And I used to bow. And remember one day I was bowing, and my father walked in. He thought I was mad, bowing to the dishes in the sink. But I came over to America anyway with Bill, my husband. And Bill was anxious to open an Irish-American club here in New York for the Irish people who come over, you know, which he has some in Dublin and in London, and he wanted one in New York.
Yes.
So I wasn't to sing at all. I was to back to the dishes. See? So I was content. I was very happy, and I was very excited. And on watching television, I said, well, I haven't a chance here, so I'll just keep quiet and do the dishes. So I never bothered, and then one day Bill was away back in Ireland on business, and this man said to me, why don't you go in for the talent scouts? And I said, oh, no, I couldn't. I've been away from singing now a few months. It'd kill me. Anyway, the next thing, I got a phone call to say that he'd put my name down and I was to go in on the following Tuesday. So I got a piano player, a very good pianist, Forbes is his name, and the two of us went, and he says to me, now listen, don't sing an Irish song, whatever you do. Sing a pop. All right, I said, what will we do? Well, he said, a very good one now for you to do is, what is this thing called love? So we learned it and learned it and learned it, and he went over it, and he was very good, and we'd all, great arrangement, we thought. Off we went anyway, and went in, and they saw in the talent scout people who are very, very nice to everyone who comes in. They said, well, we see on your card that you're Irish, so how about singing us a nice little Irish song? So I said, well, I'll tell you, I had this song rehearsed and ready, and it's the only one I have with me. Can't we sing this one? Well, what is it? What is this thing called love? Oh, well, don't bother. Would you sing a little Irish song? So I said, well, like, we only have this one with us, and we have this one ready, and we would love to sing it for you. And she said, dear,
sing with a typical Irish brogue from New York.
Sing a Irish song. So I turned to the pianist. I said, do you know any Irish songs? He said, no, I know an Irish. I said, no, wait now. So away I had to sing with no accompaniment. Because the ones I want, if I was singing an Irish song, I wanted to sing the ones I really liked. That was more or less unknown here, you know. Mm-hmm. So I sang one and I sang another, and then they'd look out at me and they'd say, sing another one, dear. And then I would sing another one, and then another one, dear. And so on, and I began to think, well, they're just giving me a chance, you know. And I sang about 7 or 8, and they said, come back the next day. Came back the next day, and we did another bundle of Irish songs. And so they said, we're going to put you on next Monday night.
And from that, of course, came victory, and from that came the great career of Carmel Quinn. Carmel, before we go any farther in the talk, let's listen to this swell new Irish song, and then I want to talk to you about Carnegie Hall next Sunday, because I know it's important to you and to everyone in the New York area.
Oh, that is
so. Here's the flip-over side of the Carmel Quinn new record on Satellite called There's a Little Bit of Irish in Everybody's Heart.
There's a little bit of Irish in everybody's heart. Well, no matter what your name is, you'll agree. No, you're not from Connemara, Donegal, or County Down. To your heart forgets its troubling when you sing of Dublin town. And though you've never seen the garden where the praties grow, you've never sailed across the Irish Sea. There's a little bit of Irish in everybody's heart, and the whole world sings an Irish melody. There's a little bit of Irish in everybody's heart. Sure, no matter what your name is, you'll agree. Though you're not from Connemara, Donegal, or County Down, sure, your heart forgets its troubling when you sing of Dublin town. Though you've never seen the garden where the praties grow, you've never sailed across the Irish Sea. There's a little bit of Irish in everybody's heart, and the whole world sings an Irish melody.
There's a little bit of Irish in everyone's heart. That's done by Carmel Quinn on Satellite. We have about 30 seconds, Carmel. Will you tell me all about the concert on Sunday?
Yes, Howard. We have it at Carnegie Hall. It's on Saturday.
On Saturday.
The 16th. We're celebrating St. Patrick's Day here on the 16th. We've the parade, and we've the concert at 5 o'clock after the parade in Carnegie Hall. We've loads of friends over from Ireland who arrived this week and are going to appear on it. And I hope I didn't talk too much.
No, not at all. It sounds like such a great show. I wish I could be there Saturday. Just one performance at 5 o'clock.
Yes.
Are there still tickets available?
There are still some tickets available.
And they'll be there at the box office for anyone who would like to pick them up.
That's right.
And I suggest that everyone, whether you have Irish in your heart or some other nationality thought, that you ought to get down there because this is one of our greatest performers in this United States. Carmel, thank you so much
thank
for making
you,
an
Howard.
Appearance.
Thank you, Howard.
Hello to everyone there, and I'll be looking forward to a cup of Irish coffee with
Good.
You the next
I'll
time
do
you're
that.
Here.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Likewise, the same to you.
Bye.
And goodbye for now. This is Howard Miller from Chicago for Wrigley's Spearmint. We'll see you tomorrow, same time. Goodbye for now.
Join Howard tomorrow when his guest will be Joe Bellino on the CBS Radio Network.
WBBM Chicago.
Creamy, creamy.